Yes.
Everybody, and Happy New Year. We are still on Zoom for a while, and the first seminar of this year. It's a pleasure to host Veronica Biffi, who is a staff astronomer at the Observatory of Trieste in Italy. As usual, short CV of our speaker. Veronica studied in Bologna and graduated in Munich at the International Max Planck Research School. She moved for postdocs at the University of Madrid. She came back to Trieste, but actually at CISSA. And then she did also a postdoc at the University of Trieste. Then she has been visiting scientists at the Center for Astrophysics in Harvard in 2019, and DFG Independent Fellow in Munich until a year ago, until 2020. And finally, she got a year ago the permanent position in Trieste. Veronica is a specialist of galaxy clusters and simulations of galaxy clusters, producing tools for simulate the detections of the signal of X-ray signal of galaxy cluster from a hydrodynamic simulations. And the topic today is of her seminar today is along the same line. I invite everyone to ask at any time and not to wait for the end of the question. So that's it. Do not hesitate also to show your face and with a welcome. Please, Veronica.
Yes, thanks. Let me repeat that. If you have any question, please interrupt because I will be giving an overview of the main results of this work, and it's easier to ask questions while the slide is on. No problem for me. So thanks for the introduction and thanks for the invitation to give this seminar. Very happy to present this work, which was done basically after the first observations with eROSITA during the performance verification phase of the Abel 339195 field, where my contribution with this paper was basically in collaboration with Klaus Dohleck to search for a significant case study in the magnetic home pathfinder simulations to try and understand or support, if you want, the observational findings with numerical simulations. This work was done as part of the eROSITA collaboration with many members of the eROSITA cluster working group. Some of them are listed here, and Klaus Dohleck was also a member, but also the PI of the simulation campaign. So this is a brief outline of what I will be presenting here, which is all extracted from the paper. Basically, what we did was to use eROSITA simulations to investigate an analogous pair of clusters, so a multiple system in the cosmic web, which could resemble fairly well the configuration of the real system to investigate the origin of the clusters and the origin of the diffuse gas in clusters and around them. So basically, we identified this example here that I show in this plot, which is in the configuration similar to the real one, and we investigate properties of clusters and gas and the large-scale structure, so the different groups and additional clusters, small clusters or group-size halos that are moving towards the pair. Okay, so the first paper that came out on this system was led by Thomas Reiprich in Bonn, based on the eROSITA observation of this field that you see here in the central panel, basically, with a much larger field of view and details with respect to Newton. And for the first time, they were able basically to detect an emission gas filament along this direction here from north basically to south, which is roughly 15 megaparsec long in projection. And this was basically the first time where, thanks to the soft Erosita sensitivity in the soft band, it was possible to detect some significant emission from diffuse gas, so resembling a cosmic filament, hopefully. The difficulty is that even though we know from theory that diffuse gas in the universe must be contained in cosmic filaments from the cosmic web connecting clusters and alternating with voids, it's very, very difficult to observe it in emission, especially in the X-rays, because this gas is much has much lower density and temperature with respect to the hot intracluster medium, for example, and so the emissivity is much fainter and it's difficult to find it, especially if you look for filaments randomly, basically, in the universe. So there have been several strategies in the literature observationally to look for these cosmic filaments or gas, often referring to warm-hot intergalactic medium, so this lower temperature, lower density gas, diffuse gas in filamentary structures. And a successful strategy has always been to look for nodes in the cosmic web, so either massive clusters and extending towards the outer boundaries of them towards filaments, or looking for bridges, meaning, sorry for the typo, short filaments, if you want, between clusters in pairs or in superclusters. So connecting close clusters one to the other. And this is very important because it's basically capturing, if you can observe it, it's basically capturing the large scale structure assembly, which is again believed to assemble in terms of filamentary structure that channel matter towards central nodes, where typically very massive structures like clusters or multiple system of clusters sit and develop and form. So these are the three main papers that are already out from the collaboration on this specific field. The first one, as I said, led by Thomas Reiprich, presenting the system and presenting especially this first detection of a gas emission filament, which is very long in size, so 15 megaparsec, crossing from north to south the whole field and connecting different structure, and also detecting some warm gas emission in between the two clusters, which is not clear. Of course, it's difficult to assess whether it's really filament gas or gas stripped from the two atmospheres of the clusters in the pair or in the main system. The one that I will be talking about is the paper that we did from the simulation side. So trying to, as I said, use that case study to interpret and support what we can observe with Erosita on the real field. And the companion one, which are, these two are both part of the early data release and will be the special issue soon out on ANA. This other one is about specifically the northern clump that you saw here, this up here, which is north from Abel 3391, and it's connected to it, to again, part of this long filament that was detected. And in the simulations, we also look at possible structures falling onto the pair in similar configurations to this so-called northern clump, which is actually a smaller cluster of galaxies. So in the simulation paper, what we did was to look into a cosmological box from the magnetic simulations. I will give details later for a suitable candidate, which can resemble visually, so in 2D, but also in terms of structural properties, the real Abel 339195 system. So in this plot, you see in the center the observed field, where you see the Abel 3395 double system, which is itself a double cluster, and the northern Abel 3391 with the northern clump, several AGNs and other structures in the surrounding. And this is in size comparable to this zoom within the simulation, which is roughly 10 megaparsec, 10 comoving megaparsec over age, We focus, of course, on a snapshot at similar redshifts, so 0.07 in the simulation. And you see that more or less visually, and this is a map of density of the gas, you have a similar structure. So you have a close pair of clusters of galaxies, and then you have other groups like this one, and others in the south. If you look at the zoom in more detail here on the leftmost panel, you see that on a scale of 10 megaparsec around the pair, you do see the two main clusters in yellow and red, a small group here called Group B or Clump B, which is a smaller group of galaxies very close to the boundary R200 of the northern cluster, GC1. And then in blue, I mark here the gas that we select in the simulation to be, to fill, let's say, a cylindrical kind of bridge between the two main clusters. So this is in projection, basically, in between the two clusters along the straight line connecting the two centers for simplicity. So we can study in the simulation the full details of this, the assembly of this system, and especially whether this gas is filament gas, stripped gas from the clusters, where it comes from, and what are the chemical and thermal properties of the gas in the bridge, and of course also of the gas in the other regions. So the simulations that we use are is a box extracted from the Magnetic Moon Pathfinder simulation campaign led by Klaus Dolag, as I said. There is a website here on the top where you can find more details on the simulations, but also data that is possible to download for comparisons. You have mocks, you have maps, ideal maps from the simulations, and also catalogs or even really snapshot data to play with. There have been several papers published on these simulations where you can find many properties compared to observations of clusters, galaxies, and large-scale structure. The simulations are cosmological, but also fully hydrodynamical. So we follow several processes in the simulations that drive the gas and baryonic physics in general, from gas cooling to star formation, the production of chemical elements following stellar evolution, and also, of course, feedback, which is both from stellar sources and from AGMs. In particular, for this project, we used a box of 500 megaparsec per side at relatively high resolution, given the size, with here lots of particles describing both the dark matter and the gas and the stars. I won't give too many details, but just to say that it's sampling a fair volume of the universe where we have several cluster size halos, meaning halos with mass M500 above 10 to the 14. In particular, selecting those, we can select in principle 10 to the 5 unique pairs of clusters in this box. 10 to the 4 clusters, 10 to the 4 pairs if we select farther clusters where both members of the pair have a mass between 1.5 and 3.5 10 to the 14. So roughly in the same range of the real Abel 339195 clusters. And then we make a step further in the simulation. So we look at pairs that are really close in space, so in 3D, and also in 2D, but the selection is mainly done in 3D, where we make sure that the two members are closer than a certain reasonable distance. And if we focus on close pairs closer than 10 megaparsec in 3D, so really double systems basically of clusters, we end up with just a handful, let's say, of good candidates. In principle, you could inspect all the different line of sights to find a similar configuration. So basically, you could choose any of them looking for the right line of sight. For the simplest case, we just took the three main random projections of the box and we select one candidate pair, which is this one, and then is rotated in the image before, which again, as a 2D configuration, which is similar to the real system. In particular, the mass ratio of the two clusters is 1.2 roughly at redshift 0.07, so roughly similar to the real one. And the two masses are written here. The temperature and the masses are both a little bit smaller and lower with respect to the real system, even though the ratio is similar. And the separation in 3D is roughly 5 or 4.5 megaparsecs. So it's really a close pair in 3D. For this, we study different properties. As I said, here on the top left, there is a sketch of the two systems with the gas bridge in between. We select, as I said, the gas to be in the bridge, like the gas in a cylinder along the line connecting the two centers in 3D. And what we want to see is whether this gas is actually coming from the two clusters, if it could be just stripped because of the vicinity, the closeness of the pair, or if it is coming from somewhere else. If you look this very brief sort of movie in 3D, where you inspect the 3D geometry of the pair, you see these lines, which are trajectories of the gas particles that end up in the end in the two clusters, red and yellow, or in the bridge in blue. And you see that the trajectories for the gas ending up in the bridge are almost coming from perpendicular orthogonal directions with respect to those ending up in the two clusters. And more quantitatively, if you look at these plots here from redshift 0.5 down to the final redshift, you see that if you track the distances of the gas elements in the simulation that end up either in the two clusters or in the bridge, they indeed come from different places. So the blue lines are for the bridge, and you see that the particles in the bridge were always very far from either progenitor. So from either cluster, they were beyond 2, 3, 4 R200, especially at higher redshift. Of course, at lower redshifts, they start to be confined between the two clusters, so the distance is smaller from the two centers. So these tell us basically one first finding of the simulation paper, that if the configuration in 3D, so if the real system is actually a close, kind of close pair, it could be really that the bridge gas is not coming from the two cluster atmospheres, it's not a stripped gas, but is actually resembling a filament, which is just compressing, and it's it starts to be confined while the pair is assembling, basically. So it could be, in the simulation at least, it resembles very well WIM properties. So low density, lower temperature gas, like the one you should find in cosmic filaments. For the gas in the bridge, but also all the diffuse gas in the region surrounding the pair, in simulations, we can really inspect the thermal and chemical properties in very much detail. So if you look on the top right, there is a phase space diagram of density versus temperature for all the gas in the roughly 7 megaparsec region around the pair. And you see that the bulk of the gas mass here identified with these contours is in the warm hot phase, let's say between 10 to the 6 and 10 to the 7 or 8 Kelvin. It spans almost 2-3 orders of magnitude in temperature, and there are different metallicities from higher, almost solar, down to 10 to the minus 1 or 10 to the minus 2 solar. And here for metallicity, I'm using actually the iron abundance as a tracer, because we can follow different elements in the simulation. So what you can do as a step further is to select different phases of the gas based on temperature and density, like the ICM, which is hot and dense up here, or the WIM, which is lower density and temperature, typically between 10 to the 5 and 10 to the 7 Kelvin. So 10 to the 5 and 10 to the 7, or you can select the gas in different interesting spatial places. So for instance, you can have a look at the ICM in the clusters here for GC1 for one of the two clusters, for example, or the gas that I selected and showed before in the bridge. And if you compare the cluster gas with the bridge gas, you already see that they occupy relatively different places in this plane. You see that the ICM is, of course, hotter and denser, especially. and the metallicity is also higher. And you could see a little bit of trend of gradient in the metallicity, in the iron abundance, which is basically due to the radial profile of metallicity, or again, iron abundance in the cluster. If you look instead at the bridge, again, the mass contours tell you that the bulk of the bridge gas is around 10 to 7, so 1 keV more or less, or even lower. And the density is a little bit lower, so it's around 10 to the 2 over density with respect to the mean baryon density, while for the cluster was an order of magnitude higher, so much denser. And for the metallicity, you clearly see that in the bridge is much lower. So on average, from the color, you see that it's around 10 to the minus 1 or 10 to the minus 2 even solar. So again, if you look at a more quantitative way, you can build up distributions of the metallicity for the different phases and for the different spatial selections. So here I show the hot, warm, and warm gas, and then the gas selected within the two clusters or within the bridge. And you see from comparing this distribution of metallicity at the final redshift that they share some similarities, like there is a broad low metallicity tail, a broader peak around 10 to the minus 2 or minus 3 solar, and there is a peak around solar metallicities in all of them. Of course, what changes is the relative importance of the peak with respect to the tail, so the normalization of the low metallicity tail, for instance. And if you look, so in simulations, since we have many snapshots in time of the evolution of the cosmic volume and of this system, we can actually look at how these curves, so how this distribution of metallicity evolves in time, so how the metallicity builds up in the different cases. And here, for instance, I'm showing a comparison between the cluster gas and the bridge gas, with curves going from purple at redshift 4 point something down to the final redshift, which is the red line. And you see that the main difference is that while we see almost no evolution for the bridge, especially in the low metallicity tail, we do see some stronger evolution in the cluster case, which is basically due to the fact that within cluster, you still have much more production of elements, and the relative importance of the highly enriched gas with respect to the low enrichment gas is changing with time. While in the bridge, again, consistent with the fact that it does not come from the cluster, but is cosmic filament gas, you do see that the distribution of metallicity doesn't change too much with time. One other thing that we look at is the assembly history of this system. So we start with redshift 1. I mark here the different structure in the region that I will be interested in. So these are the two main clusters. This is the group B that I was referring before. This is another group on the north, and there are other two, three structures in the south. This is again a density map, like the blue one that I showed before and the beginning. And you see that there are several filamentary structures in this projection in general, in this volume. Some of them are stronger and more evident, some other are smaller. So the main ones, like this from north to south, are those that I could expect to see also in observations, because are the major ones, let's say. So if you, if we play it down to the final redshift, you see that basically the cosmic web is assembling. There is the formation of this main filamentary structure, the pair that is, it's a little bit too fast maybe, the pair is actually getting closer, and the other structures seem to be moving radially towards the central node, so where the pair is actually sitting and forming. And this small one, let me play it another one. You see that it's in an independent group of galaxies that at the final redshifts is actually already part of the gravitational well of the northern cluster. So it's like a substructure in the end in the simulations. So in the final configuration is indeed this small group is at the boundary of the GC1. This is R200. So it's actually already gravitationally bound to this structure, while the other groups are still independent and isolated, let's say, groups. So in the simulations, we can have a look at the details of this assembly. And we can also try to use, again, these systems to interpret or support what was seen by Angie Veronica in the companion paper about the northern clump. So in the real observation, this is a group, a small cluster of galaxies. In the soft, in the Erosita observation here, you see that it has some boxy shape of the emission, let's say. There is a hint for a tail, and there is an edge here in surface brightness. So there are, indications that this could be indeed moving towards the Abel 3391 and the system in general. What we did with the simulations was to look whether there are similar signatures in the groups that we know they are indeed moving towards the pair. And in particular for the configuration, we chose to focus on this clump or group B, which is already bound, as I said, at the final redshift, and on this group A, which are, let's say, the best candidates for the comparison in terms of mass and history with respect to their position of the pair. So these are not exact matches at the final redshift to the northern clump in the final configuration, but they both give us interesting hints on what is going on and what we should observe in structures that are collapsing towards the pair. So starting from group A, this is an isolated group moving towards the pair. We saw it from the movie, basically. And if we look at the radial velocity of the gas and the halo with respect either to the final position of the GC1 or to the GC2 or the center of mass, which are the three colors I use here, in all cases, you still find that the radial velocity is characterized by, is suggesting a sloshing of the gas, as you can see from this behavior of the dashed curves, with respect to the radial velocity of the dark matter. So the gas is kind of sloshing around the center of the halo, around the bulk of the halo, probably due to the movement or to the accretion actually of matter from the filament in which this group is sitting. And so the sloshing is one of the signatures of this movement towards the pair, but especially the radial velocity, of course, is quite significant. And it's indeed indicating that the bulk of the motion is happening towards the direction of the pair. If you look at the other clump, of course, as I said, it's not, and just let me say that at the final redshift, the northern group A is not exactly a match for the northern clump because it's too far away to be influenced in either way by the pair because it's still at 7 megaparsec roughly, common with megaparsec over H. So it cannot directly experience the influence of the pair yet, but it's definitely moving towards it. And there is some sloshing that it's already happening because of its movement and its position within the filament. If we look at clump B, I call it clump because at the final redshift is, as I said, gravitationally bound already to the cluster and it's sitting at its R200 roughly. Actually, a group of size halo, so a group of galaxies, more or less. And if you see at the same plot the radial velocity, you do see that it's much how to say, the sloshing is less evident here, but what you can see, which is very interesting, is that between redshift 0.25 and the final one in this range here, there is a sort of divergence between the radial velocity of the gas with respect to the dark matter, which is monotonically increasing the difference, meaning that the gas is actually starting to be slowed down, and it's lagging behind the dark matter. So this cluster, this group is actually starting to be influenced by the outer, very outer part of this, or by the, let's say, the closeness to the pair. And the gas is starts to be pushed back, in a sense, with respect to the dark matter. And you see it here with the relative difference very clearly, because it's clearly increasing the difference of the two velocity, radial velocities. So it's definitely moving towards the pair, and it's especially moving towards the GC1, where it will merge by redshift 0.16, so in between these two lines here. And you see that at redshift 0.25, it was kind of similar to the real northern clump in terms of position configuration and properties. Here, probably, I'm not sure, I mean, you do see some boxiness of the contours of the ideal flux map, emissivity map from the simulation, but this is not really a strong evidence. Much more important is that once it starts this slowing down of the gas, indeed the group was at a relatively similar distance with respect to the cluster it will merge with. So roughly three times R200. Here it's better visible. So on the right, you do see the real case from the paper by Angie Veronica et al. And on the left, you see the simulated case at a redshift of 0.25. So roughly 3 giga years before, so before the final configuration that we select at the beginning. And you see that in this case, this infalling galaxy group was not yet merged with the northern cluster, GC1, but was again on the edge of this so-called infall region or sphere of influence of the cluster one, which is roughly identified with this distance of three times R200. And this is basically the same thing for the real group, for the real case. So for this group, this is a good not match, but it's a good case study to understand what's going on to the northern clump, and to indeed say that it could be moving. It's consistent with this scenario where the northern clump is moving towards the pair, and probably will merge with Abel 3391, because indeed in the simulation we see a similar case of a galaxy group that we can follow afterwards, and we see that in the end is indeed entering the atmosphere of the cluster, where we do see some significant radial motion, some evidence of sloshing, even though it's smaller than in the other case. And especially we do see some slowing down of the gas with respect to the dark matter, and even some stripping of gas once it is closer to the cluster and already starting to merge, which could be evidences roughly similar to the appearance of tails of gas that we do see in the northern clump, in the real northern clump, for instance. So there are similarities that suggest that the northern clump could be indeed moving towards the pair, and could be along the filament towards the pair, and could be finally merging with Abel 3391. And I don't know about the timing, but I think I can leave the summary here and wait for some questions.
Thank you, Veronica. We're on time. Very nice talk. Is there any comment or question I have, so I can start if I don't see any raised hand or message in the chat? I'm gonna start. The you should upload showing the evolution, the time evolution of metallicity in clusters and bridges, and you said that while in cluster we see an evolution with time, in the bridge we don't see any evolution. Well,
I actually see, but maybe
it's within the error bound, so it's not significant, that some evolution, there is some evolution indeed in the bridges, which is opposite to the one I see in the cluster, eventually occurring a very low redshift. So does it mean that we cannot trust the simulations at a very low redshift, or that I didn't understand?
No. It's just that maybe I was too strong in defining the evolution. So what I meant to say is that in the cluster, you do expect, and you do see here with the relative difference of the low metallicity tail, some, let's say, metallicity evolution, because you have production of metals that are coming from the galaxies, even at lower redshift. Meaning, remember that here we start from redshift 4 even down to redshift 0 almost. In the bridge, it's true that there are differences like between the orange and red curve and the others, but these are the very two last redshift where the gas starts to be really confined within the two clusters. So in general, for all the other redshifts, you can see that there is almost really no difference. The last two could be influenced by the fact that, of course, there will be some small mixing from the outer atmospheres, or so some enriched gas coming from the cluster at the final stages, because it's really compressed within the two clusters. But let's say that the bulk of it has still a much lower metallicity than the ICM.
Mm-hmm. They are not normalized there, right? So
This is number densities, but in the paper there are also the mass fractions, and the conclusions are basically the same. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, what's the vertical lines there?
The vertical lines, sorry, I didn't mention, and you're right. In all these plots are the mass weighted value of the selection.
Okay.
Yes. Which is, of course, being mass-weighted, it's also influenced by the high metallicity part, which is present anyway in all the selections.
Mm-hmm. The selection that you, well, the identification that you performed among all your candidate clusters in the simulations is definitely unique, or is there room for uncertainty also in the selection that you performed?
So what I mean,
is there any other candidate in your simulation that can mimic?
Could be, yes. Yeah, I mean,
which with very different results or quite similar.
We didn't inspect all of them, because the selection was done basically on the spatial distance between the two clusters and the relative ratio of the masses. So as I said, there are roughly slightly smaller number than 10 candidates.
Okay.
And the point is that for simplicity, we took this one because we had one projection, which was already nicely similar by chance, of course, to the real one. In the other cases, what you should do is to try all the different line of sight randomly, so many, to find something in the similar configuration. But let's say that the properties that we find, for instance, for the metallicity or so, are very consistent with what we found in different studies looking at intracluster medium or so.
I see.
And also, also the, like, for instance, the conclusion that the gas is not stripped is also, let's say, consistent with other works. Similar analysis where it was inspected, for instance, for pairs that are much more massive and relatively closer, where instead on the opposite side, as you would expect, the gas in the bridge is much more mixed with the gas of the atmospheres because of the influence of the two clusters. So this is just a case study. It was used and nicely resembled the real one and was useful to support those observations, thinking that it's not constructed ad hoc anyway. So even if we chose the best one visually on the base on some, as I said, distance and mass ratios, it was not a simulation done on purpose to reproduce the observations. So in that sense, it's a more general result.
Thank you. Thank you. Eric, please.
Hey, hello. This is Eric speaking. So very nice talk. I was wondering, do you have any idea of how the galaxies evolve? What do they like? What are like the galaxies in the filament? Do they like cluster-like, or are they processed already? Or did you perform such analysis?
I didn't hear. There are works that did it for us, maybe even for these simulations, looking at galaxies in the filaments. So what we looked at here about galaxies was just the galaxies in the clusters, because, for instance, the southern cluster also in the simulation is actually composed by two systems, if you look in detail, because it comes from a merger, and maybe it's more visible in one of the, in this one, for instance, you do see there are these two structures. So we looked at those, and we looked at halos that could be galaxies or could be smaller clumps coming stripped from galaxies in the past in the bridge. But we didn't look at, in general, at the properties of galaxies in the filaments.
Okay, thank you.
In this work. But yes, it could be nice.
Any other questions or comments? Well, if not, let me thank you again, Veronica, for your talk. And let me also advertise next week, Cafe Club. The speaker will be Raul Canameras, talking about cosmology and stellar physics with strongly lensed supernovae. It will be also, again, a Zoom-based seminar for next week. I remind people that all the seminars are recorded and available on the Cosmo Wiki page. Thank you very much, and see you next week.